Infosys co-founder N.R. Narayanamurthy has stirred up a little storm with his remarks that young people should work 70 hours a week to level up the country's productivity. But youngsters have posed a number of questions to the IT billionaire. Does higher hours guarantee higher productivity? Why are all the developed nations cutting back on the working hours then? Why should India ask its youth to put in more hours when it has more labour force at its disposal? Hi, you're listening to On Manorama's Explainer podcast, Newsbreak, a weekly show that breaks down news in a clutter-free manner. This is Harita Benjamin, and today we are here to discuss the 21st century's big question on work-life balance. So what exactly did Mr. Murthy say on the first episode of 314 Capital's podcast, The Record? He said that our youngsters must volunteer to work 70 hours a week for the benefit of the country. The Infosys founder also cited post-World War II Germany and Japan as an example, noting how people in Germany worked extra hours for a certain number of years. So Newsbreak caught up with a few youngsters to hear their thoughts on the matter. Let's listen to them before going ahead with our discussion.
Hi, I'm Vishnu. I think Narayanamurthy shot himself in the foot with his 70-hour workweek remark because it clearly exposes how little corporates and the CEOs value employees' work-life balance. And yet they're shocked when youngsters leave the country in search of a better life. I mean, look at several employee-related surveys and it'll unanimously reveal that India has some of the hardest workers in the world. But it'll also tell you that our unemployment rates are staggeringly high despite labor being cheap. When more countries are exploring the option of 4-day workweeks, we are looking for ways to make Sunday a working day. Narayanamurthy attributed the reason for low productivity to employees not working longer hours. False. Pump in the capital, recruit more people, share the workload, and you'll see the difference. I mean, 4 people doing the work of 8 for the salary of 2 is why these precious CEOs will never achieve the desired output from their employees. Higher attrition rates and phenomenons like quiet quitting will become the norm among the working class if our work-life balance doesn't become a parameter.
Hi, I am Anju. Well, I think it's an age-old concept where hard work or real work was considered valid only if it involved long hours. Those days are long gone. Nowadays, people are striving for efficiency, aiming to get their work done quickly so that they can have more time for themselves. While there may have been situations in the past where our previous generation had to toil for extended hours, it doesn't mean we should blindly adhere to these practices. Considering the mental health issues our generation faces, it's crucial to strike a balance between work and personal life. Otherwise, we'll end up feeling perpetually exhausted with our lives revolving solely around work. And also, people should understand this distinction that we work to live, not the other way around.
Hi, I'm Deepa. While I believe that Narayanamurthy's view that Indians should work 70 hours a week is only thinking about productivity and not quality of life, proper compensation or even their health, I believe if compensated well, people here will put in more hours at work. Now, many are already working for long hours even with less salary. We are already considered some of the hardest workers in the world, right? If compared with the 10 biggest economies, Indians have the longest average work week. Employers shouldn't conveniently forget that.
So the working population has clearly given their verdict, and it's a simple no to working 70 hours a week. So Narayanamurthy's entire premise is based on the fact that higher working hours contribute to greater productivity. Now, this is a theory which has been disproven time and again. If you are to compare the working hours of the top 10 economies in the world, India has one of the highest. It has an average work week of 47.7 hours, which is even above China, which is known for a highly labor-intensive workforce with 46.1 hours work week. Even US, the world's largest economy, has an average work week of just 36.4 hours. If you are to compare the other economies, say Japan, Germany and UK, which comes in the third, fourth and fifth places GDP-wise, Japan offers a work week of around 36.6 hours. In Germany, it is 35.9 hours. And in UK, it is 35.9 hours. So research has proven that flexible and shorter working hours improve productivity.
So today we have with us Adhara Antony, who has been working as a lead HR in IT industry a while ago in India. She's now settled in Canada and she works as an employee relations specialist in retail industry. So Adhara, so nice to have you back on the show. I think last time you joined us for a debate on quiet quitting, right?
Yes, yes. Hey, Harita. Absolutely a pleasure coming back. Always a pleasure associating with Manorama Online. And I keep hearing your shows. The content that you bring in is absolutely relevant. So yeah, very excited to be here.
Thank you so much. So the work-life balance is once again back into discussion after Mr. Modi's remark last week.
Absolutely. Yes. I think it's never been off the table on the discussion, to be very honest. Yeah.
All right. So let's just, you know, shoot to the question straight away. What is your take on the subject? And is productivity necessarily linked to the number of working hours? An employee can be productive in his or her 8 hours of work, right?
Yes. So I think I'm not an expert in the industry and I only have like about 7+ years of experience. But I strongly feel that it is a statement that can't be generalized at all because it is highly related to what kind of industry you're working with. It is a highly personal preference as to how you would want to do it. But no, I do not think that long hours of work necessarily leads to productivity because just take my example for example if I work for 8 hours, we go in the morning, all of us are like our shy breaks, we go out for with our friends, we come back, then it takes some time for us to, you know, settle in. So even when we talk about 8 hours of work, it's technically not 8 hours of productive work. So in a day, the maximum hours of productivity that a normal employee would have is roughly about 3 to 4 hours. So yeah, technically, if you are skilled enough to get your work done, it doesn't necessarily matter how long you stay in your office or how early you leave, as long as the job gets done.
All right. So now moving on to a comparison, you've worked as an HR manager in India and currently you're working in Canada. So could you basically outline the differences between the two work cultures for us?
Sure thing. So I'll start off with the positives of Canada and then start comparing it to India and then I'll come back to the positives of India. So the striking difference I felt here is that people are pretty chilled out in terms of everything related to work. So they are very particular about their breaks. So if I say that I have a break from 12:30 to 1, they're very particular about it. They do not stay for a minute later than 12:30. They are very particular on the kind of vacations that they take. And they have a very clear line of differentiation between what is my personal life and what's my professional life. But in India, we have noticed that there is no personal to professional barrier or there is no line that's been drawn for a professional. It's not necessarily just an IT industry, but in every other field, right? You think about a teacher. Does her work end when she gets off from school? No, right? She goes back to home, she prepares, she comes back, and then she teaches again. A doctor, he comes back to home from hospital. He has to go back for an emergency. So technically, the lines in India are a little more blurred than here. But having said that, as an employer, the kind of commitment that an Indian employee shows is unmatchable to anything. If I have to, bank on one of my co-workers back in India to deliver something late at night because I have a presentation tomorrow, I can completely trust that the person might get it for me. But here, you can only request them. You can't, you can't expect that they'll do it for you. So yeah, these are a couple of differences that I've felt. But yeah, both of it, them have its pros and cons. At the end of the day, what works, it works what works best, right?
Right. So that's an interesting perspective. You're saying that you can get more work done in India as opposed to Canada when it comes to, deadlines and things like that, right?
Yes, I think it's also because we are conditioned in such a way that we feel that we are bound to work a little more and show a little dedication. So as an employer, it's good for me. But when I look at it from an employee perspective, it might not be the best way to look at it as well, because there is no boundaries between your personal and professional life, and it will naturally impact your personal life at the end of the day.
All right. So, if you were to think about the larger perspective, why do you think, you know, countries like Canada and US are doing better despite, you know, say the productivity or, you know, the work put in by Indian employees being better than them? So why do you think that is the case?
I think the developed countries, they've already got an advantage in terms of the kind of facilities that they have and the kind of exposure that they have in a global economy. So a lot of our employment trends are directly linked to what the global market wants and right. what is the kind of response that our, you know, a talent market have towards it. So I think being in a developed country, the kind of talent here has more exposure in terms of the kind of work that they do and in kind of the pay that they get than a person sitting in a developing country. So I think we are on the way to go. I mean, we are on the way to reach there. I mean, the kind of growth that India has is like spectacular. And I think there is going to be a little more bargaining power for the kind of talent that we have in India, just because the country is on a super growth pattern.
All right. So that is an interesting point again, because we are saying that, you know, the infrastructure and the training and the exposure to the global market trends have, you know, in fact, improved the productivity levels, right?
Oh, yes. Because even if you just look, take an example of IT industry, a lot of the work that used to come to IT industry was very close to the support work that we used to get. The kind of development and IT infrastructure development works are growing and are increasing to India at this point of time. So for a very long time, India used to be considered as a place for cheap labor, wherein you can get all your KPO and BPO works done. But now the overview about India and the kind of talent available in India in the global market is changing. Everybody wants people from India, whether it be doctors or nurses or IT people. Everybody wants people from India. So I think the future for Indian talent is looking really, really good in terms of global reach from now on.
All right. So now you were part of the IT industry for quite some time when you were back in India. So if you are to compare the trend over the years, has the corporate world become more demanding in India compared to the past?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Just because of sheer competition and the kind of, a talent that is the huge influx of talent that is available, the kind of demands from work have naturally increased. So there have always been cases wherein we have had people who, you know, stay up late to impress your bosses and get work done and everything. But now, before, if I only had to compete to two people, I right now have to compete to 20 people to get a promotion. I have to compete with probably five other tech leads to get that on-site opportunity. So yes, I think the kind of competition has increased. So for that reason, the kind of pressure on employees to perform and to show, I think more than perform, to show that you're performing is also what matters. To be visible in the eyes of people, to be visible doing work is what matters to people more, I think. So I think that kind of pressure is kind of conditioned to all of us, and that involuntarily forces everybody to fall into the pit of, you know, working extra hours and constantly burning out.
All right. So now moving on to the next question. While 40 hours a week is quoted as the ideal amount of working hours across the world, India is still revolving around 48 hours a week, 47 to 48 right. hours a week. And I think in right. Canada, according to the ILO website, it's around 32.1. All right.
Yeah. So it's 40 hours. Sure, everybody's entitled to work for 40 hours except for the students. But now students have also been raised to 40 hours per week.
So now the other question which comes into play is about remuneration. Besides, the remuneration offered in the country is significantly low compared to the rest of the world. So if It is perhaps one of the primary reasons for the huge exodus of the qualified professionals from the country. So, you spoke about how, the other nations of the world are welcoming Indians because of their professionalism and, you know, their educational background and things like that. But can India as a country retain more qualified people in the country if, you know, our labor policies don't remunerate them or don't reward them for the kind of work which they are contributing?
So, yes, I think Indian labor force has always been something that's been hugely exploited. I think every country would say the same thing if you ask the workforce. But I think Indian labor is something, like I said before, is something that's always been considered very cheap. But having said that, like I said before, India is now being viewed as a place wherein good quality is being produced. And more than just quantity work, there's a lot of demand for knowledge work and knowledge personnel from India. So just the program that I migrated here with is a federal skilled workers program wherein they're taking professionals who have a master's degrees and everything from India, and they're asking them to move here and work here. So yes, if you give, so if for me, if I was given a little more, you know, when I say little more, the companies that I worked with really paid me well because I was from a premium institute that I studied. But I know for a fact that a lot of my colleagues do not have that luxury. But if every Indian corporate has a little more flexible labor laws, and if we are generally able to look at the increasing the pay a little more, then I think the huge migration from all of our developing countries to all these developed countries can be reduced. Again, having said that, I also had a very interesting conversation with one of my friends here in Canada who was talking about a reverse migration, wherein now that India is proving its mettle and it's proving that it's becoming a breeding ground for professionals, there are a lot of people who are who have come here initially, who have been here for about 4 or 5 years, and they have, you know, built a financial base. They are moving back to India because they want to be in their home country, and who doesn't want to be in India? So yeah, that is also something that's, you know, that's moving towards a positive direction.
All right. That is an interesting perspective. Now, the thing is, one of the arguments which we heard is that it makes sense to put in more work when you reap the benefits of your work directly, like in the case of a business. Okay. So this is not the case for salaried jobs. You know, mostly it is a remuneration which is restricted to a certain number. And in countries like India, even promotions are based on just experience and not necessarily your merit. There might be corporate companies who are doing otherwise, but there is a general culture to, you know, follow the government jobs model, right? So what do you think? Is this very different when you, now you've been in Canada for a while? So if you are to compare the two countries, do you think this is also a problem?
I think yes. Here, again, I think a lot of promotions and everything is based on the kind of performance that you have. Here, I've also noticed something that's not there in India, that the degrees have a very blurry line here when it comes to getting a job. All that matters is whether you know how to do the job and whether you're good at it. But in India, the number of years of experience, how long have you sat in that particular role, who does your boss like, all those things are still highly into play. But I think that is something that we all have accepted. And I think that is something that we that will not go away because it's a part and parcel of the culture. But again, there are things that is moving in the right direction wherein there are a lot of companies who put in performance-based incentives and, you know, performance bonuses that are very closely associated to their, direct results. So in my previous company, we had something called as OKR. OKR, which is objectives and key results. So there are three key results which you have to achieve. If you achieve them, you get like extensive bonuses. That is, that clearly differentiates a performance of a normal employee, a mediocre employee, and an outstanding employee. So that differentiation is rightly made. So even when we are talking about a 70-hour work week, I think there needs to be a discussion around what the kind of pay associated with it. What are the kind of benefits that a person gets if at all they're willing to put in 70 hours of work? Because I know for a fact that there are employees who are willing to do that. We know a lot of entrepreneurs work 24 hours. Their brain just doesn't stop working.
Yeah.
So I remember I studied with a college called Zyme. So I remember our founder, he was a man of 82 years old or something when I started. At that age, he was still working. He just recently started a school. So for some people, work is like a meditation. So I think as a country, as an economy, I think we need to be able to give some space for those kind of extraordinary performers by clearly differentiating them by incentives and, differentiation of performances as well.
Right. So now moving on to a different sphere of question. We know that artificial intelligence is assuming a huge role in today's world, right? And it has simplified many redundant, monotonous tasks.
Absolutely.
Perhaps, when Mr. Muthi was starting Infosys, he had to put in 70 hours a week to be successful at the time.
Absolutely.
But with technology, things have been made simpler. And so in your opinion, won't AI reduce the burden on IT professionals and other, service sector firms? And the working hours would be reduced in this case, right?
Absolutely. So I think, again, here we are looking at two different aspects of it. With technology, there is a lot of things which requires manual labor that can be reduced, and there's a lot of manual labor that can be saved. That is on one side. But I think the point through which NRN was talking was from an entrepreneurial view, wherein he suggested that for India to achieve its true potential, we need people who would think beyond the 9-to-5 and think in an entrepreneurial mindset and work towards it. I think it was more towards that side than, reducing the workload on the current workforce so that they can perform better. But right. Yes, I agree to your point wherein you say that AI has, drastically reduced a lot of human involvement in a lot of work. And I also think that we have not yet explored AI fully, because there are a lot of companies who still have not got an idea of how they can incorporate it into their daily routine and demanualize a lot of works. So I think that in that area also, there's a lot of possibilities for Indian companies, not just IT, but for all other companies to explore what are the possibilities of AI and, reduce the dependencies on humans by that. So that we can employ humans for more knowledgeable work, not just make them do mundane tasks, which can also be performed by a computer, so that human intellect can be invested in a little more productive and, thought-provoking activities.
All right. So I think with that, we can come to the end of today's discussion. Thank you so much, Atira, for joining us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Thank you. And this is on Manorama's Newsbreak, an explainer podcast produced by Harita Benjamin with technical production by Idea Brew Studios. It comes out every week and is available on all podcast platforms. Do follow on manorama.com for more updates.